Welcome to Bees Table Talk, the podcast in which we have great conversations about business and our economy. My name is Bee Kyle, President and CEO of the St. Paul Area Chamber, and I am so glad that you've joined us. This is the favorite part of my month, my chance to have conversations with fascinating people among us, doing great things within the community and within their organizations. My guest today is a new friend, SPAC member and leader within the state and the national business landscape. Troy Blizzard has been with Mortenson for over 24 years. He graduated from Iowa State in 1997 with a degree in construction engineering and construction management. From there, he started with Mortenson in 1997 as a field engineer and moved up through the ranks of project management into field operations. And then earlier this year, Troy was promoted to be the vice president and general manager and the leader of the Minneapolis operating group. Delighted to have you, Troy. I read a little bit about you. Realized we had something in common, a real change in our lives in eighth grade. Both of us moved back to Minnesota and started over, and I look forward to talking more about that and the work that you're doing. So thanks for sitting down with me.
Thanks, Bee. Really glad to be here today.
Well, so since I started out with the whole move back to Minnesota in eighth grade, which caught my eye. Tell me about that.
Interesting that you caught that, because as we were catching up for this, that you found a leadership presentation I did 5 years
yep.
ago.
Yep, that's great.
That was kind of how I started my leadership journey, where I explained a room of students just kind of the intersection of life and work. And I started with life, because my family, I have older sisters, so just my mom, dad, and I in Connecticut many moon ago in the 80s, for those keeping track. And when I was out there, I had a hard time connecting with friends and forming kind of relationships. And so I was a lonely kid. Mm-hmm. I was a super lonely fourth to eighth grader. And mm-hmm. I did not do a good job of telling anybody. Mm. I don't know what the medical diagnosis of everything I was going through, but it was a tough time. Mm. And so when my parents told me that we were going to move back to Minnesota in eighth grade, they were kind of nervous to tell me. And my reaction of being super positive and excited about a chance to kind of go back home, quote unquote, mm-hmm. and in a way kind of start over with a fresh start and a chance to try to do things a little bit differently. It was a big moment in my life, a big moment in my leadership life. And for all practical purposes, besides college, I've been in Minnesota since. So
that's so awesome.
Yeah.
I totally get what you mean. When we were kids, we moved out to New York. We moved into Westchester County, which is north of the city. And yeah, square peg, round hole, really, really. And that's a hard age too, right? To change your world and try to fit in. When we moved back to Minnesota, we moved back to Woodbury. So I ended up going to Woodbury High School and where I graduated. And I found that to be hard too, because we moved back eighth grade. The fact that you found your place again as an eighth grader, more power to you. You must've had some good social skills. That's a hard age.
Or just flipped a switch, because I think I did not have good social skills. And you arrived back in the middle of eighth grade on top of it all.
Oh, boy.
And you just either made friends or you didn't. And I did. That was a really important time. And it stuck with me forever. But I also think it caused me from that point on to have empathy in a different way, like that I was the kid that wasn't feeling good. And it didn't feel like anybody ever noticed when I was in Connecticut. When I came back, my interpretation of it, I can find people that aren't feeling well, or I'm going to ask a second question. Cause I just, I instinctively can see if people are not feeling well. And I think that makes me more approachable. Having empathy is such an important part of just being a leader in general, but especially in these times.
You know, it's so funny, as you and I were talking in prep for this whole idea about the timing of your life. And if you're able to take the hard times and have them teach you something. So when I jokingly talk about my superpower, I tell people that I'm basically a border collie. I like to herd people. Why, you ask? Because when you know how it feels to be the outsider in a very close-knit community, if you can take that and turn it around for good and then become the herder, like you're talking about, and really add to the world around you, I mean, what a powerful thing. So I appreciate you sharing that. Thank you.
Of course.
And then, so what high school did you go to?
High school was Rochester Mayo.
Rochester Mayo. Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. And then you mm-hmm. went on to college. So tell us a little bit about construction engineering. So when I was at the Port Authority, we talked a lot about working with folks with, and when I worked with, you know, contractors and developers, I'd run into folks with these kinds of degrees, and that was kind of new for me. So was this construction engineering and management a new degree in Iowa State, or was it pretty well established by then?
It was actually already established. And if you look across the country, I mean, construction is such a fascinating just field in general. So there's a lot of different educational paths. There's construction engineering programs, which get a little more nerdy, a little more mathy. And then there's construction management programs. And there's dozens across the country. I was blessed to even stumble into the construction engineering, the CONE program at Iowa State, because I went there to be an architect. I thought I wanted to draw stuff and be creative, and went to college with that in mind. It was in the design program, and it took one class and one teacher for me to figure out that is not how my brain works. And to your point, I had that moment where I was thankfully surrounded by other people and influencers that just shifted me a little bit this direction and found my perfect fit. So in many ways, very lucky that I kind of plugged into the construction engineering program, and being on the execute side, like if a blank piece of paper could scare the crap out of me, right? But now if you tell me what we're going to go do, to be able to figure out how to put it together and manage it and organize it, create something, that's how my brain worked. And so it was a meeting of a lot of different, does my personality fit into it? The program at Iowa State is fantastic, like 100% placement rate, like forever. It was a good fit. So it plug for Iowa State, obviously I'm a little biased, but also just plug for construction in general. There are so many career paths that are in the industry that are, have all different aspects to it, but in general, we're a team together creating something that's as permanent as anything that you're able to do in the world nowadays. And it's fun to be satisfied with what you spend a little bit of time every week doing.
Isn't that amazing? It's funny that you talk about a blank sheet of paper is not a good thing, but the how is a good thing. It's interesting because you think as a leader, you're supposed to be able to come up with the blank sheet of paper ideas, and different leaders have different skill sets. So it's important to say that out loud, that just because you are one or the other doesn't put you in a box. You get to amplify what you do well and find your place in a bunch of different ways.
Yeah, it takes a team. If anything, that caused me to have even a greater appreciation for the talents of architects and designers in this world, the creatives, because I wouldn't have a job if they weren't good at what they were doing. So it's in that spirit of one team to create something together.
So on that note, then, when you talk about your team, I imagine you do spend most of your day interacting with people, and you've got a bit of a reputation. I'm just going to call you out there. You're known for being highly accessible, a promoter of morale. You're an encourager. I listened to a Greenlee lecture at Iowa State you gave back in 2016, and I was doing the research on you. It was on authentic leadership, which I very much appreciate. I listened to the whole thing. And you talk about 5 points to developing as a leader. And I wrote them down. I kept them. Can you share what those 5 points are? Or maybe five points.
There's five. And some are resonate more than others, but it's self-awareness, like actually knowing yourself and your skills and how you show up. Values, like knowing your core, like what brings you to work every day and what's important to you and what is your true north. Aware sweet spot is kind of a more complicated one that was part of the presentation, but you knowing who you are and knowing what you're good at allows you to figure out where your best place is for yourself and for your teams. And then supporting your team, servant leadership is a different phrase that I used a ton and will probably say a few times on this call, that the best leaders with the most followership are the ones that are taking care of their teams and making their teams better. And it is not about them. And then the last one was just integrating life kind of to that leadership journey that you saw with all the highs and lows and the acceptance of the overlap of life and work. And that's that was a pre-COVID statement, but it's certainly a very true statement in COVID times that sometimes it's hard to tell the difference, but kind of accepting that who you are at work and who you are at home, it's back to that self-awareness. Like, you need to know who you are. And if you can be your authentic self through all of that, it's just so much more fun to wake up in the morning and make a difference for yourself and others every single day.
This resonates with me because, you know, Simon Sinek is my guy. And so we just had a board training today and we watched some snippets from his The Infinite Game book, in which he talks about these values, and he uses some different words, but these are really important. But the infinite game, meaning you don't have to be number one. What you're interested in is the pursuit and the sustainability of the work. And he puts a lot of effort and a lot of emphasis on the supporting the team, that your job as a leader is less about doing the work as it is about caring for the people who do the work. And as a leader, have you found that to be the case? How has that been expressed in your leadership?
Oh, it's so true. Even as you kind of described, I sometimes say I kind of had a boring career path in that there was the exact path of field engineer to this, to project manager, to executive, to blah, 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 because it was just this straight path. But there's this moment along the way where you have to begin thinking more about the people that are around you and are working for you than about yourself. And if you don't make that transition, you're going to reach a ceiling. Like, you, the followership side of things, they will follow leaders that clearly care about them and are looking out for them and want them to do better. And so if you hit that moment and you raise your head up, and it's hard. It's going from leading yourself to leading others is a fork in all careers. That's not,
and nobody teaches you about that.
No, I even was going to say that's a tough one to go to a class. Mortensen ourselves, we've got some different training that we've been working on like a leadership pathways program to get people in that moment. Because if you can get them to raise their head faster and look out for their teams, it's better for them, and it's better for the company, and it's better for the team members. But it's part of being a better leader. There are successful leaders that just still worry about themselves all day long. We could probably all think of one or two that we interact with. Mm-hmm. But the ones that you know are making a difference, people would say, I would follow that person anywhere. Mm-hmm. I would, because they know that they're fun to work for, they're learning, and it's making them better. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I kind of hit that point where I had to get more fun out of watching people and their successes and their experiences on jobs than mine, because I wasn't in that position anymore.
Yeah.
And I remember that. You just remember that moment where it becomes more about others than yourself.
Yeah, that's an important transition, particularly if you like doing the work. I can appreciate that in my own life. So when you think about Mortensen, then you know, you're bringing your values to work. And in my mind, Mortensen is a better company, such that they have the wisdom to put Troy Blizzard in the position they have. So how do your values, and how have they impacted Mortensen? How do you think they've impacted your work at Mortensen?
Well, it's keep in mind, I've got 20, almost actually it's 25 years and counting. So it is the only world I've known. So I am biased in that way, but I also think I'm very lucky, blessed in a way that I, as a kid out of college, kind of stumbled across an organization that actually, it's a family-owned company that started right here in Minnesota and has grown into the one of the more successful construction companies in the country. And here I sit, and it just happened to be where I started, and I came here for cool projects. And I have stayed here and plan on retiring here because of the people that I get to work with. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a sales pitch, but it's true. Therefore, it's just easy to say out loud. Mm-hmm. But on the value side of it, there's a servant leadership side of things. I kind of was already touching that. Being your authentic self is so important. And we did actually... the company was founded by Mortensen is who took it to where it is today. His father actually founded it. Mort actually passed away a few years ago, right after kind of officially retiring, and his son has taken over as chairman of the board. But he would always have all these phrases and leadership books, and you always knew where his head was at. And the company has done a great job of trying to boil that into a leadership program.
Mm-hmm.
We literally have a lead blue. Blues are kind of a company color, where the mantra is do the right thing, we before me, and inspire what's possible.
I love that.
And so in three simple phrases, a new team member can just do a scratch at the things that Mort did in his leadership journey over 50 years, and kind of what it means and the things that should drive us and take us to, you know, how do you make decisions? How do you interact with your team members? And it's been really powerful. And it comes in every part of our business. And it is also how we interact with our customers. It's been foundational. And interesting for me, sorry, this is a long answer to your question, but having been here forever, I read those and I saw Mort and I saw the leadership lessons I was taught. And so it's super fun that it's like the Apple motto that sometimes simple is really hard.
Mm-hmm.
To get to those words to kind of describe what it means to work here and who you need to be and how you should show up when you're here is pretty special to be able to see those on my wall every day and know that it's kind of driving our business.
Gosh, you know, I so connect with that. And I really feel like that's the burden we carry. Certainly the burden I carry in my work every day is to communicate the why. Well, Simon Sinek talks about it, you know, start with why. Why are you here? Because you work really hard. You could work really hard somewhere else too. And frankly, you know, you talk about, I'm just lucky, gosh, golly, well, I'm sorry, but hard work makes success look easy. So, and you easily could have left for other opportunities, as so many of us do mid-career. Well, you know, this isn't it. I've got to find something else. And you chose to commit and work hard. So there's a pause for that as well, recognition and acknowledgement. But I appreciate the idea about starting with why you do, which helps demonstrate and explain why you stay. Appreciate that. So what are you working on now in your leadership journey? You're a thinking guy, and I know I listened to you in 2016, which means you have moved along on your trajectory. So what are some things you're thinking about working on now?
Well, in the spirit of accepting that the journey is never over, the last 2 years have really caused kind of all of us to take a breath, look in the mirror, and really again, analyze like what kind of leaders are we showing up as. So for me, it was certainly good timing to be an approachable, authentic leader. Because the workplace became someplace where we needed to create spaces to talk about lots of things that weren't necessarily part of our work culture before.
Yeah.
I mean, You go global pandemic, George Floyd murder, and the following social unrest, and you can't come to work and not talk about those things.
Yeah.
So what am I working on? It's every day being as positive as I can be and being that positive influence and always trying to say, what are we going to do about things?
Because
it's so easy to get negative. I think we all find those moments where you can't help it, but in the work setting to stay positive, to be positive, but then also creating the spaces to let people speak what's on their minds, kind of that you have two ears and one mouth and you should use them in that priority. You have to be a good listener, and being a good listener is something I am probably going to work on the rest of my life, but certainly something I'm working on right now because you have to, and you have to read in between the lines and how are people feeling and what do they need to kind of talk about to make them their best selves at work?
Yeah. Appreciate that. And so when you're thinking about work, thinking about the impact that your style has, is huge. I'm just looking across the projects and the most notable projects that you've worked on at Mortensen, and you have the ability to impact many, many things. Talk a little bit about some of your more notable projects. Target Field, I'm not even going to tip them off. Tell me about some of the things you're working on and have worked on.
Well, this is that dorky, I'm blessed part again, just because I'm not kidding when I said I came to Mortensen to work on cool stuff. So that happened in spades. And the favorite part is that it's actually involved all sorts of different markets that we work in. So I haven't had to specialize in just sports or just healthcare or office buildings. I've gotten to do a little bit of all of it. But I have had my fair share of hospitality jobs and sports jobs. In fact, hospitality-wise, the Radisson Blu at the Mall of America was a super fun job.
Beautiful space, too. Congratulations on that.
Yeah, no, that was a wild one. And even on the north side with the JW and the office tower and the expansion, the 1C expansion, that was a challenging job. But in some of that is some of the most satisfying things we do. I built my first hotel down in Coralville, Iowa. That's where my oldest daughter was born. So she's a little Iowa baby.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. In the construction world, you kind of remember what years certain things happened by when your children were born. It's supposed to be the other way around.
Yeah, and I know, right?
Yep. And in that, my youngest daughter, I've got two daughters, they're all 15 and 12, but she was born during the construction of Target Field.
Wow. Yeah. Your wife just loves it when you say that.
Yeah. And she will remind me. She will remind me how busy I was during the building of Target Field. But in the world where you're not always supposed to have favorites, being a Minnesota kid and being on the Target Field job and the senior PM for the full 3.5 years.
My goodness.
That's my favorite. If the cameras were working today, I could kind of spin around and I've got a scoreboard mock-up and a model and I'll hold it up for you, but I even have like the commemorative bat that we have.
Oh, look at that. That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's that building and everything we've done in it since and the experience it creates for Minnesotans and Twin Sands, it'll be part of me forever. That is the permanency again of what we get to do. It's pretty special. And most recently, by office, the camera is not on for what we're doing, but I have, I think, 5 scarves in my office, all about Allianz Field and the Minnesota United and the Loons. And so it's just been fun to be able to be in the community and build things that make a difference for Minnesotans. Even more notably than sports, the Abbott Northwestern Heart Hospital. That's where I learned all sorts of things about healthcare in the early 2000s. And we're done in 2005. And I've lost track of the friends or family members that have had procedures and on their heart in that building that we built. Like it's the doctor's hands that do it, but we helped create the space in order to make it happen. And that's a fun thing to do in this day and age.
No doubt. No doubt. I had the very great pleasure of being part of the Treasure Island Center revisioning work. And that was that was the joy of the Port Authority season, was doing what you're talking about. And it was such a learning opportunity. But and in my office, I've got the big mural on the back of my wall. So you say you look at every day, you just feel good about that. And it's funny. Go ahead.
No, and I bet you remember the day that you finished the job and got to like see people experience and use it for the first time.
Yeah.
Like you remember that, like you lived it and breathed it and created it. And then all of a sudden everybody else gets to enjoy it. And that's why we do what we do.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Those were good memories. So thinking as we, you mentioned a little bit ago about as a nation, we're recovering still tentatively sometimes it seems, which is part of the burden, right? Yes. No. Come here. Go away. Start. Stop. Wait. And we just have to roll with it, just adapt to it. And on top of that is a racial reckoning we're dealing with. It's ground zero for that work. When you think about, I found Mortenson to have taken a very public commitment to really concrete work, no pun intended. So what would you say you're most proud of that Mortenson has done in these last 18 months?
That's a tough question to answer, considering kind of everything that has gone down in our community in the last couple of years. You can kind of start on the easier end of it, and like just the agility that our own team members have shown to navigate all of it, because we were quote unquote an essential business and they came to work every day. To come to work every day the last 2 years and physically be there is something to celebrate. I kind of mentioned it, earlier, creating those spaces to chat about what's on people's minds has been an accomplishment. We've been on a a DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion journey for a while, but I can tell you that the intensity and the reality of those discussions the last couple of years have just taken on a different meaning. It's tough to create those spaces, but for me personally, it became the time in my life where I really understood that I what it meant to, and that I am a privileged white male, and to really think about what that means and what that means in the community, and how I interact and the things that I have been given in my life that others have not. It's, enlightening. Like shame on me for not having the light bulb go off earlier in my life. That's not directly answering your question. To what you were asking specifically, what our team members have done and what company leadership has done to try to respond to the community's needs after George Floyd was murdered, in the spirit of restore, rebuild, and reimagine, this triple R theme. The days after the unrest, our team members literally jumped off of projects and grabbed the whatever plywood was still available, and we were boarding up businesses on the Midway and Broadway and on Lake Street. Mm-hmm. And since that time have been doing a lot of complicated work to figure out how we as a local business can help without rushing in and trying to take over and pretend that, you know, we're going to fix the all the issues going on in the world with just kind of showing up with some hammers and material. But what we have put together with the help of a lot of donors and a lot of blood, sweat, and tears is a fund that actually helps us interact with the specific businesses, again, Midway, Lake Street, and Broadway, to help try to bring them back to normal, or at least in a business sense, bring them back to normal and fix the outside of their buildings, adding lighting, adding security systems. So I'm just checking my current notes because I wanted the notes of today, but you know, over $11 million has been raised. 70 properties have been approved already. 80 more are projected for us to grab for a total of 150 businesses by next year. We've been doing this in partnership with other contractors. And this is not about Mortenson. Can't say that enough. But between Fran at KA, Tricon, and others, we're showing up and people are donating their time and efforts to help put this together. And it scratches at the surface. It is not a foundational fighting structural racism thing. It is an effort to try to help our neighbors get back to a business normal as quickly as possible. And then there's other efforts ongoing on the reimagined side. Like there's fixing what is, and then there's thinking what can be. Mm-hmm. And David Mortenson specifically has poured a ton of energy into this. We have a lot of team members that we pulled out of their day jobs to spend time on this, to do the right thing. And Delta Dental, McKnight Foundation, Anderson Family Foundation, Allianz Life, Target, the Donaldson family. And I know that's not all, like coming together to try to do some physical things is just a step towards kind of healing as a community.
Well, what I really appreciate about this is the grassroots nature of this, right? You didn't wait for a big decision or a big philosophical conclusion. You simply got to work, right? And in my mind, that's where real change happens. One person helped one other person. Then you're going to go and help one other person. Big things happen in small packages. And you did this. You're a huge organization, and yet you could find a way to drill it down to one group of people helping another practically. You made a difference in the lives of these business owners and their families every day when you're engaging like this. Kudos to you that you could do that.
Well, and to make sure that it wasn't us doing the work either. So it's caused us to form some friends in some smaller BIPOC businesses that are doing the work. To make those connections too, like all boats rise if everybody has a chance for, you know, and has chances at opportunity, right?
Well, in my mind, I think it would change the conversation, perhaps change the trajectory of the conversation when you talk about in the construction sector itself, diversifying, doing business differently. And in order to do that, you've got to come alongside companies and really embrace and partner them, which is kind of new thinking as well. So, and I know you all are invested in that as well. So I ask all my guests, and I really would like to know, in all of the work that you're doing, and I talk to business owners every day, and I like to ask this question because you inform our work. A chamber of commerce serves at the pleasure of the members, and we are here for a purpose, which is to advance your priorities. And so the bigger you get, sometimes the more invested you are, which I find quite fascinating. So I like to ask the question, what's the value proposition in your mind for chambers of commerce?
Well, I know you and I kind of talked about this kind of leading up to today, and it's such an easy answer on the, especially now in this moment where in many ways as businesses, we're still kind of climbing out of the pandemic. Like what normal has a new definition, but mm-hmm. we are seeing each other more often. We are connecting more often. The answer is really just connections. Like together and the relationships we can form through the things that our chambers do, together we can influence change way better than we can do it individually. So kind of in that same spirit of the Twin City community rebuild I was describing and working as partners, holy cow. I mean, COVID definitely put a damper in some of those connections, just to state Captain Obvious.
Boy, that's the truth. And the smaller the business, the bigger that obvious is and the bigger the gap.
Yeah. So the role be that you and your team play to bring us together and the excitement of bring us together in person again at certain events. Mm-hmm. I'm just personally excited as we kind of re-engage as community leaders in person. And you have a huge role in that, bringing people together and doing more together than we are separate.
Appreciate that input. Thank you for that. And unfortunately, we run out of time. It kills me every time I have to say that. I just wanted to thank you again for chatting with me. I'm really enjoying getting to know you. Appreciate both your time and what your organization is doing in this region, across the country, really, for those of you who aren't aware of the national profile Mortenson carries. So any final comments for me and for the folks who are going to be listening to you?
Well, assuming that somebody actually finds us and listens to us.
We'll make sure that happens. Yeah, never doubt.
that's good. No, I just really appreciate you reaching out and doing things like this just to connect with people.
Yeah.
So just really appreciate the time. And I'm looking forward to 2022 with optimism and excitement for everything it has to offer for business leaders, for Minnesotans in general, for the city of St. Paul specifically. I mean, it's we live in a world of uncertainty, but I'm certainly looking at 2022 with a smile and hope for, you know, more positivity for all of us.
I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for Bee's Table Talk. We have more conversations in the weeks ahead, speaking to business leaders in the greater MSP region, hearing from them on how their companies are adapting to dealing with COVID-19 and how they're paying it forward in the community ahead. So thanks to all, and we will see you in the trenches.